Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Every week we've been preaching on suffering for the last 5 weeks. And every week we've looked at this passage of Scripture. May the God of all grace, who called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. All right? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the passage of Scripture. And Lord, as we've been looking at suffering, and Lord, many of our people tonight are going through some tough times in their life. Lord, I just pray that we'll have grown through these things. And when we come out of these things of suffering, trials, troubles in our life, we'll have grown spiritually. For that's what you want us to do. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Someone said you can tell it's going to be a bad day when you call a suicide prevention and they put you on hold. Or your birthday cake collapses from the weight of all the candles. Or your twin brother or sister forgets your birthday. Or your boss says, never mind taking off your coat. Well, we have trials and we have troubles in our life. God uses suffering in our life. The Bible says here to perfect, to establish, to strengthen us. And tonight, the last is a matter of God using suffering to settle us, in life. Now, over in Matthew 7, verse 25, we read, "And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock." There's a parable about a man who builds a house on the sand and a man who builds a house on the rock, and the rains came and the winds blew, the trials and the troubles of life come, and the one that's built on the sand, it fell, but the one that was built on the rock, it survived. It held up. It was built upon a solid foundation. And Jesus Christ is the foundation in which we need to build our lives. Because troubles will come. The rains will fall. And if we don't have our life founded on the Word of God in Christ Jesus, then we will also fall. That word founded upon the rock is the same word translated here in 1 Peter 5:10, to settle. In Ephesians 3:17, there's a word called grounded. And that word is the same in Ephesians 3:17 as the word settled in 5:10. Over in Hebrew, there's a word there in that passage of Scripture, Hebrew 1:10, that talks about our foundation in life. And that foundation is the same word in the Greek as the word settle here in 1 Peter 5:10. Peter is telling us that suffering is that foundation for certain things in our life. And those certain things in our life are to grow our faith, to build our lives in character. Three areas where suffering not only lays the foundation, but also serves as the foundation for things in our life is one, the trustfulness of God's Word. The foundation of trustfulness in God's Word. We sing a lot of Psalms a while ago. Over in Psalm 119, if you'll just turn over there with me in the book on Psalm 119, you find some beautiful passages of Scripture. In Psalm 119 is a great psalm that just simply magnifies our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It starts blessed. And in verse 4, it says, "You have commanded us, Lord, to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes." And verse 72 of that psalm, turn over with me a passage of that. It says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. He magnifies the Word of God. God's Word is trustfulness in our life. In verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law," or your words. "It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemy, for they are ever with me." Now, when I think about trusting God's Word, I think of how we are told to trust God's Word. In that same passage of Scripture, Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Things may change. Life may come and go. But the Bible, God's Word, is settled. It will remain settled forever. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away." God's Word is trustworthy. It is a foundation upon which we can build our lives tonight. It's a foundation to guide our lives tonight. You can count on God's Word. When you can't count on anybody else, you can trust God's Word. Every Pharaoh, every patriarch, every prophet, every psalmist declared that the Bible is trustworthy. Never will forget a story I read about the great preacher Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was one of these hellfire and brimstone fire type preachers. He believed in the Word of God. He preached the Word of God. He was preaching the Word of God one day, and he was telling about the Word of God and how God's Word is true, and a man was heckling him in the back. And he said, "God's Word is not true." He just kept on preaching the Word of God. Every once in a while, that man would stand up and says, "You can't prove to me that God's Word is true." He just kept on preaching the Word of God. And finally, the guy came down towards the front, heckling Billy Sunday, and he says, "The Word of God is not true, and you can't prove to me that it is." And Billy Sunday jumped down off the platform and says, "If I can prove the Word of God's true, would you believe it?" He said, "If you can prove to me that the Word of God is true, then I will believe it." He jumped down off that platform and he grabbed that man by the nose and he just twisted that nose around so hard, blood spurted from it, and the man was hollering, and the man said, "Why in the world did you do that?" He said, "You said to prove that the Word of God is true." In Proverbs 30:33, it says, "As surely as the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, the twisting of the nose will bring forth blood." Folks, God's Word is true. It is trustworthy. It is faithful. We can put our faith in it. We can trust God's Word. And it's in the times of suffering in our life. It's in the times they sing about the valleys of our life that we can trust God's Word and we can grow from God's Word. The psalmist declared in 119 verse 50, "This word," or "the word, is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." He says, "The word of God is my comfort in my troubles, in my affliction." In Psalm 119, 92 and 93, it says, Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your law, for by them you have given me life. He simply says, "God, I thank you for the suffering and the pain, because your word is true, and your word has given me life. It's given me strength. It's brought me comfort in the times of trials in life." Friends, it's in that midnight or the valleys, in the midnight hours of suffering, that we realize that we can trust God's Word. You see, when all else fails, we can trust God's Word. It is that foundation of trustfulness that we need to build our lives on. So don't ever think that God's word is not true. It is true, it is complete, and it never fails. It never fails. And then there's the foundation that we need to lay, not only of the trustfulness of God's word, but the foundation of usefulness in God's word. Look over, if you will, in 2 Timothy 2:21. In 2 Timothy 2:21, I read this a few weeks ago. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Paul talks here about being usable and useful in God's work. He said every vessel of honor is a vessel that God can use. God wants to use you. Usefulness is desired by God. Now, listen, God has a desire tonight to use every single one of you. Every single one of you. I see people all the time who believe, well, preacher, you know, God can't use me. Or they feel that God won't use them. But the Bible says, if you will set yourself aside for God, God will use you. And He can use you. You do not have to have a master degree of theology to be used of God. You don't have to have a doctor's degree or a seminary degree or any other degree to be used of God. You just simply need to make yourself available to God. Make yourself a vessel. Make yourself usable to God. It should be every Christian's prayer. It should be every Christian's passion. It should be every Christian's pursuit to make themselves usable and available to God. You see, God has a desire to use you. And that is the foundation upon which we must build our lives. Trustworthiness in God's word and usable to God. Listen to 2 Timothy as I read that again, as I read it again. I didn't turn from it, but I'll find it again. I think it's in my Bible still. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master. And then what I wanted you to see is prepared for every good work. Now, you could underline that word, prepared. All great servants of God have been prepared to be usable by God. Just about every great servant of God has had to go through that fiery furnace to be usable by God. You see, we build ministries. God builds men. We build or think of victories won, but God thinks of the vessels that are fit for service. We strive for the mountain, and God sends the valleys. He sends the suffering in our life, the sorrows that come our way for a foundation to make us useful for His work. God wants us to trust His word fully. God wants us to be usable in His work. And I dare say no one's ever been used of God that's his or her heart hasn't been broken, his spirit hadn't been crushed, or his soul hasn't been baptized in the fires of sorrow. Folks, it's only when we go through these trying times that we get on our knees before God and are made useful for His work. And then there's not only the foundation that we see here of trustfulness, there's not only the foundation of usefulness in our lives. God says here, there's also a foundation of restfulness in God's will. Turn, if you will. I found it this evening in Job. Still there. Job 23, verse 10. I'm going to read that scripture to you, and you listen to it. Job 23, verse 10. But He knows the way that I take. Talking about God, Job said, He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Man, the verse speaks here as God, as an observer of our life. It speaks here of God as a not only an observer of our life, but He's an observer of the difficulties of our life. You see, He says, I know, God knows the way that I take, and when He has tested me, He observes my way, and He's tested me, I will come forth as gold. When gold is sent into the fire, what happens to it? It's purified a little more, and a little more, and a little more. And He says here, God knows the way that I take. God knows when I'm discouraged. Amen, or oh me. God knows when I've had trials come in my life, and I don't seem like I can take it anymore. He said, when I go through these things, when I go through the fiery furnaces and God observes those things, He cleanses me and He brings me through. I shall come through as gold. Sevilla Martin. I told Rhonda this evening, I said, I'm going to say something about Sevilla Martin. She said, who is that? Well, I said, when I tell you, you'll know. She was sitting by a bedridden saint one day as she waited upon this lady, and she asked the lady, being bedridden, do you ever get discouraged? And the lady said, how can I get discouraged when my Heavenly Father, who watches over the smallest sparrow, also watches over me? And she went away from her house that day, and Sevilla Martin wrote, why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for my heavenly home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Now you know who Sevilla Martin is, Rhonda. She wrote that beautiful song that we sing over and over and over. I don't know how many times I've heard that song in my life. And I know He watches me. God orders the directions in our life, Job 23:10 says. And not only He orders the direction in our life, it says He has tested me. You see, God has tested many of our people. Many of our saints have been through some testing fire. I can look back over this last year or the last 10 years, and we've had a lot of saints in this church who've gone to be with God. Many of those saints went through a lot of testing before God called them home. Many of those saints are still here with us, and their families have gone through some testing in life. But God knows what you're going through. And when you come through, He says, you'll be as gold. A little closer to God. You see, the foundation of trustworthiness in God's Word. We must trust God. You know, God knows what He's doing, doesn't He? I don't know what He's doing. People will say, well, why did this have to happen? I don't know. But I know one thing. I've got a Heavenly Father who loves us too much to hurt us. He loves us, and He only wants to make us useful in the Word of God. Psalm 119:75 says, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and Thou, in Thy faithfulness, has afflicted me. He said, God, I know one thing. I know everything You do is right, and in Your faithfulness to me, You have afflicted me. You see, there are no accidents in life, only divine appointments in our Christian life. I believe that. I believe God knows everything that's going to come into my life in the next years, you see. Sometimes we worry and we worry and we fret. We can't do anything about that. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I know one thing, I have a Heavenly Father who watches over me. And why should I be discouraged when the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for my heavenly home? With Jesus as my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Now, folks, it's only when we understand and accept this great truth do we find the restfulness in our life. Do we find that peace that passes all understanding? When you can trust God's Word as a foundation for your life, when you can be useful, as available and useful to God in your life, you can find that restfulness in God's life. You know, God wants us to face all that happens in our life with a peace and a joy that passes all understanding. And I believe that. Now, let's wrap everything we've said up in the last 5 weeks, and I'm going to try to wrap it all up. Is there a reason for suffering, we said? Absolutely. There is a reason. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. You see? Why does God allow His people to suffer? Well, the Bible says He allows His people to suffer that He might, one, perfect them, that He might establish them in the Word, that He might strengthen us in our life, and tonight that we might be settled in life, that we might have a restfulness about us, that we might have a peace about us, that we might have a joy in our life. He allows us to suffer, and there's the reason for suffering, that we might grow in our Christian life. Not all suffering is from God, but God will help you through all suffering, okay? I like to watch animal shows. They're better than the human shows that we see. I like to watch National Geographic, even though they believe in, you know, I like to watch how God takes things and makes them. I like to watch, well, we was watching last night the great tuna catches and how the great tuna know how to go all the way around the Atlantic Ocean and guide themselves back. It's just amazing how God has put within the animals that ability. One night I was watching the show, and it was about moths, those big old emperor moths. They were everywhere. And they showed one emerging from what? A cocoon. You do know something about animals, don't you? Probably watched it myself. Well, that big old moth emerges from that cocoon through a little hole, and it goes through a great struggle to get out of that cocoon. And if you take that cocoon and cut it where he can just crawl out, all you have is a big, old, ugly, green, worm-looking moth that will crawl on the ground until it dies. You see, it's that struggle through that little hole that forces the water in that moth's body to move into those gigantic wings. And because it pushes the water to those wings, when the struggle is over and he gets out of that cocoon, it can fly. If you take away the effort, he'll die and never fly. Friends, God allows his people to suffer because if he didn't put us through some suffering, we would never be the type Christian or the type person that God wants us to be. The Bible says that he may perfect us, that he may establish us, that he may strengthen us and settle us to be the saints that he wants to make us. Is there a reason to suffering? Yes. It's God's way of developing our lives to be all that we can be while we're here. And it's God's way of preparing us for the beautiful place, I believe, that he's got prepared for us when we die. So that's the reason for suffering. And I hope if you're going through suffering, or if you've been through suffering and trials, that you can see that God has brought you through by his marvelous hand, and you are made better for what you've gone through or what you will go through. Someone said, no saint would ever be what he should be until he goes through some brokenness in his life. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the trials, for the troubles of life, for in those trials and troubles, Lord, you let us learn to trust your word. Lord, you develop us to be useful in your work. And Lord, you give us a restfulness in our life and a peace to prepare us for eternity. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.